ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
I think we discussed on Sangha Vibharjita, correct?
Before that.
Ramitavarukyam. Ramitavarukyam, is it? Okay. Yeah, before that Sangha Vibharjita. So today we go to text 18 to 19. There are one or two more words to be covered. Samashatrauchamitrecha
Samashatrauchamitrecha
Tathamanapamanayoho
शीतोष्णसुखदुःखेषु
समसंगविवर्जितः तुल्यनिन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेतस्थिरमतिर् भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः। One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. So we covered the first three lines of this verse. So we will discuss on these two words today, Aniketa and Stiramatir. I believe I didn't cover here, isn't it? Aniketa and Stiramatir. Anybody remembers? You want to ask questions? It will be two of the things. Actually, we will be concluding this chapter today. Really, because we have been dwelling on this one meaning of the words for a long time. Today we will try to finish today. Because these words are very appropriate and fitting to a pure devotee. If you understand them, we can aspire for these ideals. Aniketa. Last time we were discussing about Sangha Vivarjitaha, means free from contaminating association. You remember the crocodile story we were discussing? You all remember that, isn't it? Discussing on the crocodile and the monkey. Yeah. Yeah. There was one essential point we were discussing. Can anyone say that? If you say that one point, that means the whole class is understood. Sangha Vivarjitaha. Freedom from contaminating association. Although there are many talks that go on in the assembly of devotees about how to dissociate from bad association and associate with good devotees and all. There is one very vital thing we were discussing in the class. Yeah. We should not soak our consciousness in contaminating association. That was the main point. So that was the main point we were talking. Because the mind has a nature to soak itself in whatever inputs you give it. If you give bad input, mind soaks itself in it. If you give good input, mind soaks itself in it. So that was the main point we were discussing. One should not soak one's mind in contaminating association. Yeah. So then one can be free from contaminating association. Although Prabhupada was in the midst of New York City, his mind was soaked in Vrindavan mood, isn't it? So because of that, it was not contaminating association for him. So contaminating association happens where our mind is. You are where your mind is. So that's why we were discussing it on one full class on that very important point. Especially for devotees, it's very important. Because we all are struggling devotees, we are trying to advance. So if we keep this fact in mind, that where are we giving our heart to? Are we giving our heart to contaminating association, or are we giving our heart to Krishna? We have given our physical body to Krishna, isn't it? We wear tilak, we wear kantimala, we wear attire of a devotee. So we are giving our external attire to Krishna, but where are we giving our heart to? Where are your feelings situated? Are your feelings situated in Krishna consciousness or in Maya's allurements? That will decide our progress in Krishna consciousness and our future destination. So Aniketaha means one who doesn't care for any residence. So what's wrong with living in some residence? You know, basic needs of food, clothing, shelter is needed by every living being, isn't it? Why should he be Aniketa? Niketan, you heard the word Niketan? Niketan means a living place, isn't it? Aniketa means a devotee has no living place. Or, in other words, he doesn't care for any residence or living place. So I don't know whether I was telling this in the last class. Lord Shiva was once giving charity, isn't it? So when somebody, one Brahmana, poor Brahmana wanted a house to live, so he took a tulasi and put it in on the same house where he was living and gave it to the Brahmana. And he went under a tree. And he lived under a tree, they said. This is the story. How Lord Shiva is so detached, although his wife is Durga Devi, who is capable of supplying everyone all kinds of material benefits. So Lord Shiva does not take advantage of it. That goes to show why such a great Durga, who is powerful in rewarding material benefits to everyone, she takes shelter of Shiva because he is so detached. If he becomes dependent on her, then naturally she won't be attracted to him, isn't it? He is a very great Vairagi, very detached. So even great acharyas, we see that they never cared for their residence. Just like you see, the Goswami is living under one tree every day, not even the same tree. One day in one tree, another day in another tree. Because if you live under one tree, same tree, then you'll become attached to that tree. It's my tree. One can become attached. Once Haridas Thakur was living in a cave where there was also a snake living, a mountain snake living there. So some Vaishnavas came to see him. And when Vaishnavas saw that there's a snake, they became very frightened. When they came to me, can you imagine somebody living in a residence with a snake? Imagine if somebody tells, actually this really happened, once there was a snake which came into the neighbor's house. And it left the neighbor's house and entered into our house when I was a small boy. So now everyone knew that there was a long snake, almost 3 feet long, snake. And it was in the neighbor's house and just come into this house. So imagine what would have happened. It was an evening hour. So we tried to beat it, but somehow it escaped. Now in that entire lane, everyone knew that, you know, there's a snake around, which was not beaten. And actually all the children started talking so many stories, you know, a beaten snake, which was not killed, you know, will attack those who tried to beat it. So we were all the people in the hit list of the snake, isn't it? So nobody slept, all the lights were on practically. You know. The whole night, all the lights were on, people are all waiting with weapons. Yeah, you can see that if there is one snake in that area, people will be so afraid. But here is Haridas Thakur living in a cave with a mountain snake. You know mountain snake? It's a huge snake. Big diameter, very huge. And he was not fearful at all. So he found that the Vaishnavas who come to meet him, they were getting scared. And Haridas Thakur observed it. And then he told the Vaishnavas, oh, if all of you are afraid to come into the cave to meet me, so maybe I should better leave this place. It seems that it is snake's residence. I am not supposed to be here. So I will go to some other place, he said. And he said, if the snake doesn't leave by tonight, then I will move to another place, he said. And before that night, the snake left the place. Understanding that here is a pure devotee of Krishna, And if I don't leave, then he will have to leave to another place. Better I leave. He left. So, you can imagine somebody living in a cave, in a forest where there are so many dangers. In such a forest. So Haridas Thakur was such a pure devotee, he could live in a cave. I was just thinking about many acharyas, and this was a very fitting word for so many acharyas. You see, Gaur Krishna's Babaji. So he wanted a residence where nobody would disturb him in his chanting of Hare Krishna. So he found that so many materialistic people come to meet him, asking for gold and silver, asking for material benefits. And nobody was interested in talking about Krishna. So one day what he did, one wealthy man came to search for Garushas Babaji, but he was not there. Then he came to know and searched here and there. At last he found that he is in a public latrine. You know, public latrine stinks more than other latrines. So he was there, chanting Hare Krishna there in the latrine. So nobody will come and disturb him. So this wealthy man went and said, "Oh Maharaj, why are you living in such a place, horrible place? I can make a very big dharmashala for you. I can make a very big mahal for you." So he said, "Why don't you come and live with me?" He asked. So Babaji said, told him, "Why should I come and live with you? If I come and live with you, I will become a Vishayi like you. If you come and live with me, maybe you will make some progress in Krishna consciousness. So better you end up and come and live with me," he said. When the man heard it, he took a boat on and ran away from there. He never came back. So we cannot imitate such acharyas like Gaur Krishna's Babaji, who exhibited such a high degree of vairagya, detachment. Yeah. You know, there is a place in Mayapur, you will see, where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took a vow to chant 3 lakh names every day for 10 years. Who chants generally 3 lakh names in a day? Haridas Thakur. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took the same vow to chant for 10 years, 10 long years. He had taken a vow and he did it also. And in the course of those days, when he was chanting, one time there was a heavy rain and the roof of the house broke open and rain started falling on his body. Then he took an umbrella and he kept the umbrella and he continued chanting. He never stopped. He didn't even repair the house. Somebody asked him, "Why don't you repair the house?" He said, "No time, I have to chant the rounds." So he was ready to simply chant under an umbrella roof. He was satisfied with that. So we can quote innumerable examples of very great vairagi. In Bhagavatam it says, "Ruddha guha kimajito vatino pasannan kasmat bhajanti kavyo dhanadurumadandan." Ruddha guha, guha means gufa, or a cave. He's saying there are so many caves to live. What is the need of spending one's whole life in building a very attractive bungalow to live? Why should one waste one's life, he's asking. Why not one just live in the caves? So when we hear such examples of Aniketa, it may sound a little impractical, isn't it? Not little, too much impractical. Isn't it? Certainly none of these things we are going to follow in our life. Then you may ask, "Prabhuji, if you are not going to follow any of these things, then why do you talk about them? Is it really necessary? Why don't you little bit wake up to that 21st century? We are people living in modern age. You are talking about caves and forest and snakes living in the mountains. What is the need of talking all these things?" The purpose of talking about great acharyas and such personalities living without home or living in caves is to at least get a little inspiration from their detachment, so that we can at least begin having a little bit of detachment from that. That is the purpose of hearing all these things. When we say Aniketa, the deeper meaning of Aniketa is, a devotee does not consider his house to be the only house which he owns, whereas the devotee considers the whole world to be his house. Because Krishna is seen by a devotee everywhere and in everything. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati. A devotee sees, wherever he goes, he sees Krishna. And he feels, this is my father's home. He feels Krishna is everywhere. So everywhere is Krishna's place. You have heard this, sab bhumi gopal ke hai, you know. Everything is Gopal's. So he doesn't feel like, for example, I am in Tamil Nadu. So I feel like one great poet, you know, he wrote that if you, whenever I hear the sound Tamil Nadu, he says, I feel as if nectar is passing into my ears. You know this? Yeah, Subramani Bharati. He says, similarly, how many of you Maharashtrians you feel when you hear Maharashtra, you feel nectar pouring into your ears? Isn't it? Sendami Nadanam Bodhinile, Inbatenmandu Payadu Kadinile. When I hear, isn't it? You know this? He says, so you can understand how much he is attached to Tamil Nadu, isn't it? So, similarly, don't think he is the only one. People who belong to Maharashtra feel the same way also. People who belong to Kashmir, Uttar Pradesh, or Madhya Pradesh, or Karnataka, or Andhra, they all feel. Sometimes from the accent of a person, you can say, where is he from? Somebody has Malayalam accent, you see. From their speech only, you can say, this fellow is from Kerala. You know?
Like yes. There are many freedom fighters India. There are many freedom fighters of Maharashtra.
Yeah.
They wanted separate Maharashtra state in 1950.
He's saying they wanted separate Maharashtra state, he said. Even Andhra also, they wanted like that. The idea comes from attachment to one's home and one's place of birth. That is very firm attachment. So aniketa means a person does not feel such attachment at all to the place of birth, because he knows that everything is Krishna's place. All this demarcation is done by the human beings. And God created the whole earth, and human being has made all these barriers and frontiers and everything, and started claiming this much is mine, that is yours and this is mine. So aniketa means a devotee feels that any part of the world I go, that part is Krishna's property. Like Prabhupada would go sometimes to a foreign country. And there they would ask him in the customs, where are you from? Why are you coming here? So Prabhupada compared that to the dogs, you know, isn't it? Sometimes the dogs are barking. When one new dog comes to your lane, that dog which lives in that particular lane, you know, he will make a big barking. You've seen that?
Yes.
You will not let him come in. Why do you come? Woof, woof. He keeps shouting like that. So, Prabhupada said, hey, we are coming to preach God consciousness, and God is everywhere. every place is God's place. That is the meaning of Aniketa. He sees every place as Krishna's place. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was in the West, in the beginning when he went to the house of Sally Agarwal. Isn't it? There, Prabhupada was practically not having much place to live. There was a fridge in which some meat was kept, fishes were kept, but there were also potatoes kept. So he would take those potatoes and cook. Can you imagine? A pure devotee of the Lord who has to live in such a place where meat is being cooked. And he didn't mind, because he knew that was his mission. He had to preach Krishna consciousness there. So he tolerated. And that was a very time-bound period when he could live. He couldn't live for long in that place. So he was moving from place to place. So different people would offer Prabhupada some facility to stay in that place. At one time, Prabhupada was living with one boy called David, I think. David, yeah. So Prabhupada had a plan to make him into a great preacher. Prabhupada thought that he'll become a very great preacher. And he can preach to him. And Prabhupada wanted to gain support from many of the Americans. But one day when he returned back, he found that this fellow had become a drug addict. He was stoned in drugs. So much so that he came to attack Prabhupada and kill him. So Prabhupada, he took his suitcase and everything, and he left from that place. There was a danger of his life. And early morning he went to the house of Jan and Mike. Jan and Mike, later on they became very great devotees, Janaki and Mukund Maharaj. Janaki Mataji and Mukund Maharaj. So they were Jan and Mike. So Prabhupada went in the morning and battered the door, early morning. So they opened the door, and there was Prabhupada with his trunk, big trunk. And Prabhupada said, well, what had happened? And they said, no, we have a small room. They were doing in a single room. They said, we don't mind sharing this. We don't mind sharing this place with you, Swamiji. We can give you some place. So he just put a sari or a curtain in between like this. And Prabhupada was living on this side and they were living on the other side. in a single house, in a single room house. It's a very typical example of Aniketa, one who did not have a house. Actually, Prabhupada could have had a house, surely. But a devotee considers Krishna's mission to be the goal of his life. So for Krishna's sake, he was ready to tolerate any kind of inconvenience. At one time, Prabhupada was ready to live in the Bowery. They got the matchless gift shop, a small storefront. And Prabhupada used to pass in the morning. So many hippies would be lying on the roadway. Yeah, it was a very dangerous road. Anybody can be shot at any time. And Prabhupada would go, everyone knew Prabhupada, that the Swamiji passes every morning, he walks through. Like that. So he was wandering in the cold of the New York city, without any home, or without any permanent place. People like to have a permanent home, own home, my own sweet home. But Prabhupada was living practically alone, not knowing tomorrow where will I go. Every day, moving from one place to another place. And that too in such a age, isn't it? Such a ripe old age. Actually, as you will observe that when you go beyond 50 or 60, the anxiety is more than the physical pain that you feel in the mind. Because generally you are in anxiety that things don't happen your way. Your children don't cooperate with you, or you know, your neighbor is giving you inconvenience. Every small disturbance becomes magnified as you get older. You will see that. If there is some small noise in the neighborhood, you will feel it like a big noise. If food is not coming in time, if you know, there is no silence during sleep, all that is very disturbing. In such age, you can see, moving, taking a big trunk, moving from place to place. Because his mission was preaching, he was doing that. So that is the meaning of Aniketa, that a devotee does not become attached to any one home or one state or one country. He feels that Krishna consciousness is for everyone. It's meant for all the children. Everyone. Prabhupada once said, it's meant even for the animals. He said, Prabhupada says, even a dog can chant, you know, one place he says. That Prabhupada says, because they cannot chant, you chant for them. Let the trees benefit. Let the animals also benefit. Let the birds benefit. Let the insects benefit by your chanting. I can speak closer. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Is it loud enough?
Yeah.
So there is a strong tendency in the conditioned souls to become attached to home. That is why the word Aniketa is said. Because the home is considered a very secure place for a conditioned soul. He feels so, at least. Because when one is surrounded by the relatives and friends, and when one has a permanent home, then one feels very safe and secure, as if one is freed from birth, old age, disease, death, everything. That is a kind of mindset that one gets when one is at one's own home. What is the problem with that? The problem is one becomes lethargic. One becomes lazy. As you increase the comforts more and more, then one becomes more and more lethargic to spiritual life. One loses the seriousness. And one becomes more and more attached to the home. And one does not want to even move out for some time. When Bhaksan Suri tells one story of Kamini Mohan. You know this? Story. He says, there was a man called Kamini Mohan. So he was very attached to his home. He would never leave home. He always wanted to do many, many things staying at home only. He would not like to go to any other place. So one of his friends came and called him. He said, Kamini Mohan, would you like to come to Mayapur Dham? He said, in Mayapur Dham, you know, one can go and see the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There is also tomb of Chankazi. We can also go and see that place. Along with that, he said, there is a Ballal Sen, a great king's palace. And then there is Ballal Sen, in the neighborhood of the palace, there is a Ballal Sen's lake also. So we can see all these places, please come. Let's go on a pilgrimage. And Kamini Mohan said, no, not now, sometime in future. He was postponing. Then his friend was wondering, why is he not coming? And he understood that he is not interested in spirituality. He is not interested in spiritual life. If I call him for some fun, he will come. So after some months, again he came to him and said, how many of you, do you know there is going to be a fun fair in the banks of Puliya? So I am going for the fun fair. Would you like to come? There will be many, many recreations and amusements there. Would you like to come? Now this fellow became little interested. Oh really? There is going to be fun fair. There must be a lot of enjoyment there. Okay, I am coming with you. So he accompanied him. So this fellow, the friend actually tricked him. His idea was that I will take him to the fun fair and from there I will take him to Mayapur. That was his idea. So he took him to the fun fair and they spent a lot of time. In the evening, his friend told him, okay, today we had a nice time here as per your desire. Now you see, when we just crossed the river, there is Mayapur Dham. Let's go to Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. Please come. Let us spend the evening there. And the friend understood. Now my Kamaniman understood. Now my friend is pressing me too much. So he was hatching a plot in his mind to escape. So he said, no, you see my friend, whenever I see water, you know, I get palpitation, you know, I get allergy, you know. If I board a boat and go in the center of the water, probably I will drown, you know. It's very dangerous. When the summer comes, you know, the river will get dry and we don't have to cross the river at all. That time we can just walk, you know. We can just walk over and we can go to the other side and that time I will come with you. Not now. His friend immediately understood. He said, hey, Kamini Mohan, I can understand your insincerity and hypocrisy, hypocritical attitude. You don't want to come. You don't want to come to the holy place. You are simply giving some justification, giving some reason. So he said, neither is the river going to dry, nor are you going to ever take darshan of the holy places. Because you are simply lazy for spiritual life. I told them. So, when we say attachment to one's home, attachment to one's home means one becomes very complacent in spiritual life. One doesn't want to make progress. Like the Brahma's prayer, Tavat Kara Griham Griham, he says. Kara Griham Griham means that home makes one a secure prisoner. Prisoner means, you may say that the doors are open, I can go out anytime, but you will not go. Because one becomes attached to home. Although door is open and everything. Like you see, like one time we were in Bombay, I was in my first year of my ashram life there. So I had gone for lecture 94. Dhanachami was giving a lecture in a place. It was a new building. Some congregation devotee had purchased a new house there. So, that time Maharaj was talking about this. He was telling that, you see in this building, bungalow, there were many, many pigeons flying here and there. So he showed the pigeons and asked the devotees. So he began with a question. What is the difference between the pigeons living here and people living here? And people were thinking. And somebody raised a hand as if he is going to give a thoughtful answer. He said, no, pigeons don't pay rent. But we have to pay rent. That's not the answer to the question. Of course, Maharaj said, there is not much difference between pigeons living here and you living here if you are not Krishna conscious, he said. He said, pigeons are living here, they are eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And if you are also doing the same activities here without Krishna in the center of your life, then he said, you and pigeon are not much different. So he was telling that. So, you can see people living in homes, they have huge gates, they have beaver of dogs, board, isn't it? So they want to avoid having any saintly person come and give any knowledge. They are afraid, they don't want to hear anything. They don't want to be disturbed in their comfort, complacent zone. They want to remain where they are. So they are secure prisoners. It's not much different from prison house. That is why the word Aniketa, what inspiration we should take from this, is when we see the lives of great personalities like the Acharyas, they are fearless practically. The first word in the 16th chapter, first verse, is Abhayam Chattva Samshuddhir Jnana Yoga Bhavasati. Abhayam, it says. So a pure devotee is fearless. Like, you know, when one takes sannyas, after taking sannyas, when one goes in a forest, One may fear that, no, who will protect my family members? Who will protect my mother, father? Who will protect my relatives, friends? Not only that, who will protect me? One can fear also. I am all alone in the forest. How will I be protected? I may be attacked by ferocious animals. But Prabhupada says there how one should not be fearful. Because such a person in the renounced order should have a firm faith that Lord is seated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. And he will offer protection and he is watching. He is in the tiger's heart also, he is in my heart. If I have to be protected, then the Lord will make the tiger go away in some other direction. So one should be fearless. Abhayam. So when one becomes aniketa, then one also gets abhaya, both. Along with that it comes. When one can avoid attachment to materialistic living, then one also becomes fearless. As soon as one gives up materialistic life. So, in the material consciousness, there is a strong tendency for people to simply live a materialistic life at home. People actually going to temple is sometimes considered a very laborious thing. When Prabhupada was in Jaipur, he showed the American disciples, just see these people. Early morning, almost 4:35 o'clock, the temple hall was having like thousands of people there, crowded in the morning, thronging the temple. So Prabhupada showed to the disciples and said, do you know, just look at these women and look at these men, how old they are. But how much enthusiasm they have to come early morning and assemble in such a large gathering. Especially in Jaipur it is very special. Unlike other places, especially in the early morning, you will find thousands of people there. And all of them sing a very rhythmic song, glorifying Radha Govindji. And you will see that. And Prabhupada was very much appreciating that. And Prabhupada said, in the West, do people get up like this? Prabhupada was getting up early in the morning to go and take darshan of the deities. So, to want to take the darshan of the Lord, to want to go and meet Him, to want to go and offer Him obeisances, to want to go in front of the Lord, stand in front of Him and offer some prayers to Him and give a report to Him. So, these kind of things are traditionally taught in the Vedic life. In Vedic life, you will see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu living in Puri, going for darshan is so common there. Like Mahaprabhu tells Bhattacharya, so I am going for darshan. And Bhattacharya says, please have Jagannath Mahaprasad. Again you find, after eating prasad, they chant, they dance, and again they go for darshan of the deities. They bring Maha garland, the garland is offered to devotees, again they go. You will see so frequently they go for taking darshan. So it's very common, accepting Mahaprasad, garland, accepting Mahaprasad itself, and accepting the things, items that are offered to the Lord. These are very, very common. But in Kali Yuga, the television has become the deity. Yeah, at homes. You find that they keep the television in the most prominent place in the house, where you are supposed to keep the altar. In the front hall, drawing room, they keep TV in an elevated altar. And all of them very faithfully sit underneath. Mother, father, children, grandchildren, dada, dadi, nana, nani, papa, papi. All of them. Isn't it? All people sitting together, no difference in age. All with unblinking eyes, focused completely. That's enough. So you can see that, yeah. Because this is the attachment to home. Aniketa means one should be ready to get out of home and go to the temple of the Lord, go to the holy places, go to the yatras. And actually yatra gives you a spirit of detachment, gives you a feeling of, like, you know, generally when you go to the office in the morning, you're thinking of home, oh, when will I return home? So I can just, you know, take a shower and relax in the easy chair, my own home. You know, you feel like that. When you go in yatra, you know, there is no assurance, you don't know where are you going to go next. Every 2 days, 3 days, you are shifted from, isn't it? Shifted from one room to another room, one place to another place. And as soon as you go to your place, you don't know whether the bathroom is good, you know. Facilities are good, whether you get proper prasad in time, isn't it? There is anxiety. That anxiety is very good. It's very nice. It helps us to develop a spirit of detachment. Yeah. So we have to develop a spirit of detachment and attachment to Krishna. That is the purpose of that. Otherwise, if everything is too comfortable and very cozy, then that becomes a good chance to forget Krishna. Because we can see, we were talking one of the classes before. We love comforts. We put faith in relatives and friends. and we put faith in bank balance. Correct? You remember in one of the classes we were talking about it. We put faith in the relatives, we put faith in the bank balance, we love the material comforts, and we depend on our relatives, friends and society and police force and doctors and other people for our protection. So this dependence, faith and love should be as far as possible applied on Krishna. Otherwise, why do sadhus renounce everything? Why do they leave the world? Somebody can ask them, why don't you live in the world only? Why don't you be happy? For example, saintly people give up the parents, relatives, friends. By doing that, they have declared to Krishna that I have nobody, I am an anath. In this world, I have no relatives, no friends, I am alone. So you are my only shelter. They can very firmly take shelter. Similarly, they don't have any bank balance. So you don't know about tomorrow. And you live on charity, whatever comes up, it's on accord. You have to live like that. Once you're ready for that. Then again, you don't have faith or dependence on any money like that. Similarly, those who are saintly are supposed to avoid the material comforts as far as possible. We should avoid the material comforts for one's own body. In our society, in the name of Yukta Vairagya, one can misuse. Like for example, we go, like brahmacharis, we have a rule that they cannot use cushion for sleeping. Like we go to some place, some other temple, like from the guest house you go, they have a thick cushion. So we take the cushion, we throw it away, we put a chatai and sleep, you know. So sometimes when you are going out session, you may think, oh, today at least I got a nice cushion, sleep in the cushion, you know. So we should not have any comfort for oneself, but comfort is only for Krishna. So in this way, if we don't love the material comforts, then by that we can develop love for Krishna. So these are the purposes of why the saintly people renounce the world. So that they can develop love for Krishna, they can develop faith in Krishna, they can develop dependence on Krishna. So what should everyone do? Should everyone leave their homes and become renounced? Can they do that? That's not possible. So when you are living at home, we have to keep these things in mind. Like if you see, I was recently reading Prithu Maharaj's section. In that section, Prithu Maharaj is welcoming the four Kumaras in his house. It is said, as soon as the four Kumaras came, he didn't even ask them about their kushal, well-being. So, oh Kumaras, how is everything? He didn't ask them at all. Rather, he started asking question, oh great Kumaras, please tell me, what should a person who is conditioned in the material world do in order to become free from the material entanglement? He asked the question. So Prabhupada says that Prithu Maharaj knew that the Kumaras need not be inquired of their well-being. Because they are firmly situated in Krishna consciousness, we don't have to ask them any question. If somebody is in Krishna consciousness, they have to be happy. That can be understood. At the same time, what question he asked? How should those who are conditioned souls suffering in the material world be entangled? So Prithu Maharaj was not a conditioned soul, nor was he entangled. He was a liberated soul. But Prabhupada says, even if one is liberated, one should ask such questions for the welfare of those who are conditioned, for the welfare of those who are suffering in this world. So he asked that question for everyone's welfare. So that the great words of wisdom spoken by these Kumaras will be of benefit for everyone in the world. So in that section, Prabhupada says, if you read, there is something interesting there. He talks about receiving the saintly people. It says a home where the saintly people are not welcomed and saintly people are not heard. Such a home is like a tree infested with snakes, it says. There's a shloka there. You will read. A home in which the foot of a saintly person is not falling. But the home which is simply meant for gratification of the senses. It is like a tree infested with snakes, it says. On the other hand, he says, a home in which, actually this is fed by Prithu Maharaj himself, he himself says that, you will read that. And then he says that the home where saintly people come and they recite the glories of Krishna, or there is an inquiry and reply regarding topics of Lord and his devotees, then such a home becomes a Tirthasthan. It becomes like a, you know, It becomes like a holy place. Yeah, it says that. Yeah. So one has to sanctify the home by creating the spiritual vibration at home. So for home to be made spiritual, that is why sometimes people do Vastu Shanti or people do this housewarming ceremony to sanctify the home. And subsequently, the Lord's Kirtan should be done in the home. One should recite Srimad Bhagavatam. There should be mutual asking questions, hearing the answers. So the whole house should be filled with divine sound vibration. So one has to make Krishna the center of the home. Then only the home will become holy. And in this way, when one makes the home holy, then it is no more entangling home, as we were saying before. So like Nanda Maharaj is telling Gargarshi, isn't it? That people like you, what he says, there is a famous verse. Deena Chetasam. He uses the word Deena Chetasam. Deena Chetas means poor-minded souls. What is the meaning of poor-minded or rich-minded? If you are Krishna conscious, you are rich-minded. If one is un-Krishna conscious, he is poor-minded. He says that all the people in this world, generally we find, they are simply focusing only on sense gratification. So they are called as poor souls, poor-minded souls. Because the soul has the rich treasure of Krishna consciousness. Actually, we are always Krishna conscious, but we are covered over. But we are forgetful of our being the child of a millionaire, Krishna. So we are poor souls in that respect. So he is telling, Nanda Maharaj is telling Gargarshi, when you, people like you come to the house of people like us, he is saying, then you are actually sanctifying the place. Then one can actually become Aniket even while living in Aniket. One is even living at home, one can still be called as Aniketa. Like for example, great kings like Dasharatha. When Vishwamitra comes, he stands off his seat and he offers the seat to Vishwamitra to sit. Or Vasishtha to sit. Like that. Why they do that? Because they want to sanctify the seat in which they sit. And they want to declare to them that all the wealth that I possess is actually Brahmaspada. Brahmaspada means it is Brahmaspada means the wealth of the Lord, Lakshmi. So whatever I am possessing is not mine, it is meant for the service of the Brahmins and service of the Lord. It's all meant for that. And so they give them the seat to sit like that. So by doing that, even one who is a king, then he becomes a Rajarishi. Then he becomes a saintly king. Then his whole kingdom is sanctified by that. So there are many examples of kings who are unattached. Although they were sitting in elevated simhasanas, like Ambarish Maharaj, Dasharatha Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, many. So, this is the meaning. One is simply attached to husband, wife, children, television, and increasing the comforts, increasing the luxuries, increasing the material facilities at home more and more, decorating the home more and more, without reference to Krishna, then one becomes entangled. Sometimes people invest a lot in making a big independent bungalow or a row house, huge sums of money, and in order to pay back that money, they work lifelong, practically. Then one becomes entangled by that. So to be Aniketa, to be detached, how can a householder do that? One has to sanctify the home. One has to Krishnaize the home. So the home in which Krishna is established, just like here, the altar, and then the home in which the bhoga is offered to the Lord, the home in which everyone works in Krishna consciousness, they understand that this home is not a permanent place, it's a temporary place. We all have to leave the body one day. We have to go back to the eternal home, which is a permanent home. With that proper understanding of that philosophy, when people live together, assisting one another to become Krishna conscious, then it is a proper home. And he says, Sthiramatir. Sthiramatir. What is Sthiramatir? Fixed determination, he says. Sthiramatir. Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhir Yekehe Kurunandana. So that is actually pinpointed attention. Opposite Staramatir is Chanchalamatir. No? Like he says, you know, what is that verse? Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalamastiram tatastato niyam yaitat atmani eva vasham nayet yato yato nishchalati. Chalati means to move. Manaschanchalam astiram, he says. Here he is talking about sthiramatir. They are just opposites. Sthiramatir and astiram. So why does a person become astiram? Or why does a person becomes, why should a person be disturbed in his determination to execute Krishna consciousness? See, this sthiramati means one is convinced that by Krishna consciousness I will attain everything in my life. And I don't have to divert my attention to any other type of sense gratification. I will just surrender to Krishna. And this is the best path for me. And just like Prahlad Maharaj, who was so determined in his practice. But we will see that many a times the mind is always asthiramati. It is not sthiramati. Mind is wavering, always, as Lord Krishna says. The reason is explained by Prabhupada in one of the purports. He says, if the mind associates with false ego, which tells him, you know, false ego actually identifies with the body. Mind attaches itself to false ego. Then one's buddhi becomes asthir, or one's buddhi becomes unsteady. When the buddhi becomes, and the mind becomes unsteady, then one cannot see the atma at all. Just like in the river, if you find, you know, if some ripples are created in the water, you cannot see your face. If the river has no ripples, if it is plain, then you can clearly see your face. In the same way, Pashyan Atmani Tushyati, Krishna says, when is it Pashyan Atmani Tushyati? You know what is that verse? It begins with Sanishchayena Yoktavyo Yogo Anirvinna Chetasa Sankalpa Prabhavan Kamam Stekva Sarvana Sheshita Manasevindriya Gramam Vinyam Yasamantata. No, not there. He says, I think, Sukham Atyantikam. No, before that. One verse before that. Yam labdva cha param labam manyate nadikam tataha yasmin stitho na dukkena guruna api vichalyate. No, that is last line. That is conclusion, yeah. Pashyan atmani tushyati. That is the second line of that verse. Check. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmana atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. See, there is a word uparamate. What is the meaning of the word uparamate? When one makes the mind calm, you have to make the mind calm. What is the meaning of making the mind calm? Should we become all moni babas to make the mind calm? If you settle the mind, the ripples in the mind, then the mind becomes calm. And Pashyan Atmani, then you can see the soul, he says. Making the mind calm means two things. One should not allow the mind to flow outwards to different sense objects of the world to enjoy. Modern civilization is so much of consumerism. You know, you can shop and keep shopping. There's no end only. Nowadays, everywhere supermarket is coming. You know, close to Pune temple, one supermarket has come there? You saw that? Yeah, stop and shop after some time, isn't it? So you shop, go to the shop, till you drop. Stop and shop till you drop, isn't it? So already the mind is, you know, wavering, it is not steady. But when you go to the shop and see there are 100 types of soaps, 100 types of toothpaste, 100 types of footwear and clothes and whatnot, people spend so much. So that means allowing the mind to flow outward. I'll try this, I'll try that, I'll try this, and your entire life goes in trying different things. Mind keeps trying. And when you come back, then you mentally try all those things. First you physically try them, and then you mentally try them. So mind flows outwards in the world. So mind has to be calmed. And another thing is the mind has a tendency to brood over the past and worry about the future also, fear about the future. So In order to make the mind calm, that's why we chant the Hare Krishna. As we chant Hare Krishna, again and again when we try to hear attentively with the mind, gradually the mind becomes calm, 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 calm over a period of time. At one point of time, one can clearly see the Atma Tattva. One can see the soul clearly. Actually, the Sthira Buddhi comes from a pinpointed attention, with concentration. The more we increase the concentration in the chanting of the holy name, then the mind, the Sthira Buddhi will come. Now the mind is like a pendulum, Bhogan Tyag pendulum. You know Bhogan Tyag pendulum? First you enjoy, and when you're frustrated, Tyag, you give it up. And then after some time, you know, you cannot stay in Tyag for a long time. Again, you go back to Bhog, like this. And one goes back and forth, like this. One is repeatedly frustrated. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a very nice verse, which actually, the purport is given for the householders, so it's very appropriate. It begins with Jata Shraddhastu. It begins with Jata Shraddha. If you see the word Jata, you'll get that verse. That purport explains what is the meaning of Dhrida Nishchaya. Dhrida Nishchaya Rasthira Buddhi. He explains in a very wonderful way. He says, especially in the beginning stages of one's devotional service, one sees that even while performing devotional service, one is not able to give up sin. That sometimes there may be occasional lapses in the life of a devotee. One may slip and fall down from the ideal standards that one is supposed to follow. But a devotee knows why he falls like this. He knows that there are heavy conditionings from the past life. And because of those conditionings, a devotee knows that these conditionings are chasing me and they are not leaving me. And devotee very fervently prays to Krishna, please help me from all these conditionings. Although I am supposed to follow this principle strictly, sometimes there is an unpremeditated fall down. You know what is unpremeditated fall down? Which is accidental fall down. So when a devotee accidentally falls down, what does he do? Does the devotee curse Krishna? Or does the devotee curse the process of Krishna consciousness? Why this is happening to me? No. A devotee knows that Krishna is trying to help me, but my conditionings are so strong that I fell prey to this. Again a devotee stands up and picks up himself, and again he progresses, praying to Krishna again. Krishna, please help me. And the devotee repents very severely in the heart that I will never commit this sin again, Krishna. Please forgive me this one time. And devotee goes on like that. This is called Dhrida Nishchaya. Sometimes even after resolving to such promises, again a devotee may slip and fall. But one important thing to be noted here is that this fall down is not deliberate, or it is not premeditated or planned out. But a devotee may slip and fall in certain standards. It is explained there. So, Sthiramatir not only means the Sthiramatir of a pure devotee, we can also talk Sthiramatir in terms of a conditioned soul also. For a progressing devotee or a growing devotee, can also have Sthira Buddhi. As long as a devotee says, my dear Krishna, no matter how many times I may slip, no matter how much Maya may trick me, I will never budge in my determination to serve you. I will go on being your devotee. I will never blame the process of Krishna consciousness or blame the devotees or blame Krishna. I will go on with full determination in continuing my Krishna consciousness. Like sometimes when dangers come in our life, we blame Krishna consciousness sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes, like you know, sometimes students, when they get good marks, they are very happy. Sometimes they increase their rounds also. Sometimes they get a very bad result. They will say, I think I did something wrong by becoming a devotee. They think, why did I become a devotee, you know? Because I got poor marks now, better not chant now. And they will say, bye-bye, now I will practice after my college. So, but bhakti is not performed like this. Bhakti is actually, Sthira Buddhi means even if a devotee's mind is swayed by waves of sense gratification and a devotee struggles hard to surpass sense gratification and occasionally may have lapses owing to the strong past conditionings, a devotee's determination to serve Krishna never wavers. That is Sthira Matir. That is most important. I have seen many devotees saying that, like you know, one devotee came and told me, he was serving in Vrindavan. I know him from Bombay and Pune. So this devotee was telling me, almost, I think it was 95 I met him, I think, yeah. So that time he had told me that he has this difficulty of overeating, you know, especially sweets. So I was giving big advice as if, you know, I'm a great soul. Anyway, I was giving him some advice and all in those days. So he said he followed it and he could not do that and everything. So now I found him in Vrindavan. I had gone to this Chaitanya Math there. Sorry, not Vrindavan, Puri. So there I met him there. So he was serving prasad. So again he was telling, Prabhuji, I'm a very fallen soul, you know, he was telling. So I saw him after serving everyone, he was taking this rasagullas, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4, he was stacking 5 in his hand and taking like this and going. So after going to a corner and he ate it. And then he came and told me that, you know, Prabhu, I'm still not able to give up this bad habit. He was telling. It is still not gone. What can I do? You know, this is so compelling. Sometimes some of the habits are so strong and deep rooted that they become second nature. They're very difficult to give up, even after many, many years of practice. But I told him, at least you have not left Krishna's feet. You are safe, I told him. Although you have not been able to give up this habit, at least you are safe in Krishna's feet, which is most important. A devotee should never get frustrated in life in such a manner that one says, enough with Krishna consciousness. Like you can see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings this song, Amara jivan sada pape rata nahika punyera lesha. Even this song, Gopinath mamani vedana shuno vishaye durjana sada pape rata kichu nahi mora guna Gopinath. He sings that, if you see. Is it Amara jivan sada pape rata? So, if you see, in these songs the acharyas are presenting the plight of a conditioned soul. How a conditioned soul is unable to give up sin. Despite coming to Krishna consciousness, despite knowing Krishna is the enjoyer and the master, despite knowing what is right, what is wrong, sometimes the conditioned soul may be knocked by the strong whirlwind of past sins. Conditionings because of that. It's because of a deep dent we have created in our mind in the past life. Again and again mind flows in the same direction. So now we have to fill up those dents with divine sanskaras. And again we have to cut a new sanskara so that we can flow in the right direction in these lives. I was reading a very interesting statement. It says that we have seen so many men and women of this world, so many cinema actors and actresses. And people's minds are filled up with this cinema actors and actresses in their mind, isn't it? But when one chants the holy name of Hare Krishna, the name of the divine, supreme divine couple Radha and Krishna, and by chanting regularly, gradually our mind will become filled with the divine couple of Shishi Radha Kunjipiyari, Radha Ladli Lad, like that. And instead of having those previous men and women, all of them will disappear. And you will see the beautiful, radiant, beautiful, compassionate, joyful and divine couple of Radha and Krishna. That's why we chant the holy names every day. So that means the divine sanskaras are cut now in the mind, that our mind flows in the divine direction. And the wrong direction is wiped out completely. Otherwise, if any of us find that we are not able to give up a past habit, that means the older sanskaras are still there in the subconscious mind. It's directing us to that. But if you do it again, what happens? Then you are cutting the groove even more deeper again. That's the problem with committing sinful activities. If you indulge in sin, then again we cut the same groove more deeper. That means we are increasing our trouble in Krishna consciousness, increasing the burden. Just like if you are climbing up a mountain, will anybody pick up a big boulder or a rock and add it to his luggage, open your suitcase and put another rock in the suitcase? Now we carry it foolishly. So we should not unnecessarily increase our trouble. A devotee should strenuously endeavor. The word strenuously endeavor is given in Bhagavad Gita also. Shakno tihe vayasodam praksharira vimokshanat kamakravada udbhavam viddhi sahita sukhinat. Prabhupada writes there in the purport. One should strenuously endeavor to give up the past conditionings and have the sthira buddhi. When we say have a sthira buddhi, the obvious question people may ask is, if I don't have sthira buddhi, what to do? That is why we are talking about all these things. The purpose of talking all these things is If you don't have a sthira buddhi, that's because of our past conditionings. Then one should sincerely endeavor. If you have a accidental fall down, Krishna will forgive you, surely. But if you have a pre-planned, premeditated fall down, then it goes into the zone of seventh offense. Namno balad yasahi papa buddhihi. So then it becomes committing offense against the holy name. And we all have to follow according to our ashramas. In grihastha ashram, in brahmacharya ashram, there are different things that are considered as prohibitions, and different things that are considered favorable. And you have to learn from nectar of devotion, nectar of instruction, from seniors. You have to learn those things, and you have to avoid the prohibited activities. I am talking these things even to a assembly of very senior devotees, because we can see that the old habits can attack us back after many years. Also, one is not very intelligent, one is not very cautious. Actually, the word intelligent is a useless word, because Krishna says, yatatohyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramatini haranti prasavam manaha. Even of a man of great discrimination, who is very intelligent, vipaschitaha, even his intelligence can be carried away. At times, Krishna says that. So it is not by intelligence that we conquer our mind and senses, but by mercy. So we have to beg, we have to pray, we have to hope, and we have to repeatedly fall on Krishna's feet again and again by reciting the holy names. Then one can surpass all the conditionings. There's a nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, everybody knows that you can cross over the ocean of material existence, my devotees. Very beautiful verse it is. Taranti, the word taranti is used in that verse. No, that is also a nice verse. There is another nice verse. That is also a nice verse. Which similar. This verse says that this the mrityulok, you can the word especially is used is the prasad of the Lord. By the mercy of the Lord, one can cross over this material world. Sarva Durgani, what is it? No, not that. Of course, their prasad is there. Machitta sarva durgani mat prasada tarshit. Yes, that is the verse. Machitta sarva durgani. My devotee, my dear Arjuna, sarva durgani, all kinds of obstacles and difficulties he will overcome. How? Mat prasada tarshit. By my mercy. Only my devotee can cross over. And then he says, atachetva mahankaram. He says, no. But if one is overpowered by false ego and thinks that, you know, I don't need the support of the Lord and the blessing and mercy and benediction of the Lord and protection of the Lord, if one thinks I am independent and one acts out of false ego, then vinangshasi, he perishes, he is destroyed. But the battering waves of the powerful force of the material existence, he says that. So, sthiramatir may vary from person to person. That yeka bhakti rishishyate or yekeha kurunandana or tasmad ekena manasa Bhagavan Satatampati, we may not be able to get it immediately. That is a samadhi stage. Before samadhi there is dharana, dhyana, then samadhi. One has to actually come to that stage of samadhi someday. One has to practice. So we have to do two things. As Krishna says, tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha. I don't know whether you remember, I told the example of Bakasur and Bhima. You remember? One of the classes I was telling. This is a very beautiful example. You know, when Bhima took the cartload of food for that Bakasur, he didn't take it for Bakasur. So, you know what he was doing? He was eating with one hand. When Bakasur came to attack him, what he did? He just kicked him away. Again and again, Bakasur came to attack. With one hand, he was kicking him away. So, keeping him in bay, and with the other hand, he was eating. Yeah. So in the same way, yukta asita matparaha, same way, tani sarvani samyamya. When the senses keep disturbing you, keep kicking them away. Don't give them food. But you give Krishna conscious food, yukta asita matparaha. Over a period of time, you will see that Bakasura is finished. And you get nourishment. Oh, you can take it. Very nice. Tasya prajna patishtita. Correct, yeah. Such a person is a truly intelligent person, yeah. Because the senses are not going to leave you so easily, because so many lifetimes you have given them food. So they are coming, where is today's food? Come, give me. Bakasura came. But then he said, till now I have been giving food, but not today. Now you rascal, you go. psychic dream, and then he took it. So yukta asyat matparaha, no? This is the way. So, and then he says, bhakti manme priyo naraha. So one more class we will discuss on bhakti man. No? And then we will conclude the last verse the next Tuesday. Actually, I wanted to finish the class generally in 45 minutes to 1 hour in future. Because I heard that the hearing capacity of people is only 40 minutes. After that, it is like overwriting a tape. You know, if you record a tape, after 40 minutes, what happens?
The storage capacity is only 40 minutes.
Yeah. It's like, you know, overwriting it. Then you will forget what you heard in the beginning. Yeah. But Prabhupada gives many times 25 minutes classes. 25 minutes or 30 minutes classes he gives. So Bhima Prabhu was telling me recently. He also speaks only 30 minutes, he was telling. But he said, if you speak past times, you can go on, he said. You can go longer.
Bhagavatam timing is 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that all of you can also, you know, you'll be able to get back to your homes early. So every week I'll try to stick to this timing. By 8:40 we'll finish and do kirtan so that you can take prasad and you can get back to home early. Is it all right?
Huh? You can have some exercise also.
Okay. Homework, is it? Yeah. I can take 5 minutes questions till 8:45. Anybody has question? Yes.
He's
asking, you know, we are depending on bank balance, we are depending on police, we are depending on doctor and everything. So how can we avoid depending on all these people? And we also say that, you know, if somebody is drowning in water, if somebody is offering a boat, one should take help. Not that one just gets drowned hoping that Krishna will come and pick me up, you know. So one should accept the boat. That's a good question. Yeah. Actually, depending on these things is actually mental. What you are talking about is mental. You will see that mentally we give our heart to these things. For example, even while chanting, our mind contemplates on the bank balance and the interest that we will be getting in a particular bank. Mind keeps, you know, calculating finely. Now this month, you know, that bonus is coming, Diwali is there, you know. Bonus has come, if it adds up, maybe interest will be this much. And one keeps meditating, contemplating on the bank balance. Same as I said, in the family security, like, you know, when you have wife, children, husband, mother, father, and there is a nice home, nice food is cooked, and everyone is eating, laughing, chatting, one forgets Krishna many times. And one thinks that, you know, this is eternal world, one feels like that. The world appears to be eternal. And one forgets the temporary nature of the world, and one becomes forgetful like that. So, like we go to doctor, sometimes, you know, when we get some sickness, somebody comes to know that they have some big disease. You've seen people getting fear. Doctor is saying, hey, don't fear, you know, nothing will happen. I'm going to, you know, diagnose you and I'll give you some. Sometimes as soon as you know that you have some disease, you get excessive fear. That excessive fear is a proof of our lack of dependence on Krishna. We have to know that even the doctor cannot save us if Krishna doesn't permit him to save us. The savior is not the doctor. Ultimately, savior is Krishna. Yeah. So sometimes the doctor, like one doctor was telling, it is very important that the patient is confident. Why they don't tell the patient about the blood cancer and all, no? They don't tell why? Because as soon as they know, they become very fearful that I'm going to die. That very thought only makes them die very soon. You know? Yeah. Because they think that this doctor is the only savior, I'll catch his feet, now I will, you know, shell out, you know, any thousands of dollars, and he only can save me. So sometimes people say, oh doctor, you are my savior, you are the one who, please, somehow save me. But that means they don't have any dependence on God. Of course, we need a doctor to cure our disease. But we have to know that ultimately Krishna is beyond the doctor. Many times you find the people surrounded by hundreds and thousands of costly medicines, you know, and they are admitted in the most famous of the hospitals. And the best of the doctors come and treat them and they die. Why? Because Krishna's control is beyond the control of the doctor. And the same applies to other things also. Like, you know, we can save money in the bank. You all have to certainly save money. If you are a grihastha, it's your responsibility that you save some money for emergency, you know. Rupa Goswami says that. You have to save some money for emergency. So you have the right to save it. Why do you save it? Because there shouldn't be a time in your life when suddenly you have some in a financial crisis at home, you know. And then you have to leave your chanting, leave your Krishna consciousness, leave the company of devotees and, you know, go and work hard to make the family survive. So emergency will come to rescue at that time. So that means the purpose of saving emergency money also is the Krishna conscious purpose. That's how a devotee sees that. And a devotee knows that, for example, I was once asking in a class, do you remember, how much money is very secure, isn't it? It's very difficult to say. Because, you know, any amount of money you have, there can be so many dangers that can come in life and all the money. Like, you know, money can be stolen away by a thief. Or bank can go in Diwala in this world, isn't it? Or you may get a bypass. Like one person had three bypasses, you know. Bypass surgery. You know? Sometimes in one family, four people have bypass, can you imagine? All of them have weak hearts. How much money is finished? Four into how much? Four. And four people have to perform three times. Isn't it? Where is all the money that is saved, you know? Yeah. Like you see the hurricane that came in New Orleans. People had to leave their homes and go to another place and everything is finished. So we are living in a world of danger at every step. Padam padam yati padam natesham. So we have to know that yes, I will save the bank balance, but beyond the bank balance there is Krishna standing above. And he is in control. One has to remember that. We are talking about people who become intoxicated in the immediate safety measures of bank balance or family and relatives and friends and police force and doctors and all. In the same way, as you rightly asked this question, all the brahmacharis have left all these things, there is no assurance of detachment immediately. Like, you know, physically it's very easy to detach yourself from bank balance, you know, and leaving the parents and leaving all security of the world, you know. But you will see that it takes time for developing that inner detachment. It takes time to realize this fact that, you know, all these supports are all temporary. There is no firm assurance. Like, you know, in Bhuj, this thing came, no? Earthquake. Can you imagine one constructs a house with so much money and everything and the very same house falls on the person and kills him? Yeah? Horrible, actually. This material world is a very dangerous place. Yeah. So we can do Kirtan for a few minutes.